For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Talking Simpsons listeners, a quick thing before this episode starts. We recorded this one way in advance. We thought, oh, we're safe, everything will be good, nothing will happen in the next few weeks, and then, boom, a couple days later, Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey himself, passed away. So this episode is going to sound a little weird when we start talking about Gordie Howe in the, you know, present tense, and we don't talk much about, you know, things that would have reminded us non-hockey fans about the way Gordie Howe touched society, whether it was with his 26 seasons playing or the fact that Cameron wore his jersey as an FU to his father in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We don't talk about any of that stuff, but just consider this the RIP Gordie Howe section of the podcast. And anyway, here's the episode.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we prefer the old sparkle. I mean, maybe I don't. I don't know about that. I'm your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here with me?
Wow, Bob Mackey!
Thank you, Milhouse. You just screamed at me.
And I'm Zero Gravity, Henry Gilbert.
Oh, nice.
And I'm, I don't know, Chris Antista.
Am I the Cobra?
Cobra Chris Antista.
Okay,
thank you.
We go. And if you can, in case you didn't know, this is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Today's episode is about Bart the Lover, which aired on February 13th, 1992, close to Valentine's Day. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in history?
With a loss of $2.3 billion, the Ford Motor Company announces its worst year in history. Audiences extreme show-up to Wayne's World in movie theaters. And boxer Mike Tyson is convicted of rape charges.
Ooh. Oh, no. I want to note that I think Nintendo dropped the license before that happened, just because it was too expensive.
Yeah,
and they just reprinted it as Punch-Out.
And now they sell it as Punch-Out featuring Mr. Dream, to make it clear.
He's a white version of Mike Tyson,
I guess. Yeah, it's so sad because the game is built around Mike Tyson, and it works much better with his celebrity in it. Of course, you know, you understand why they cut him out, and then they wouldn't want to re-up that.
If you grew up listening to TJ Jazzy Jess and the Fresh Prince, I think you can beat Mike Tyson. It's the only game in town.
No, Michael Tyson was an amazing boxer who then was so amazing that he inspired the Dredrick Tatum character, a long-running Dredrick Tatum character in
but
the Simpsons
look,
world.
You never know what's going to happen to a beloved celebrity or personality, evidenced by this episode.
Boy, oh boy.
Bill Cosby.
Oh.
Bill Cosby.
Don't!
That's great. Oh. That's great. He did say Donald Trump, too, right?
We'll get to it.
Okay,
we'll get
cool.
to it.
But yeah, the Dredrick Tatum, though, he went to jail for throwing his mother down a flight of stairs. Yes. That's what happened with him.
It's an even worse person.
It's weird to think. I don't know if I've personally forgiven him, but I think he is now a ridiculous character and not seen as the menace he once was, Mike Tyson. I mean, he's on a cartoon on Adult Swim now.
He is, but
he raises
cartoon.
Pigeons. I don't think it's
this might. I know this probably isn't the best place to talk about it, but the idea that like he's been embarrassing himself for so long in the media, he has become sympathetic by being this Mike Tyson.
If you know about where he came from,
it's weird.
There's no way he would not have turned into a monster based on his upbringing, based on how he was exploited and things like that. So, not excusing what he did, but it's easy to see how he
I swear this is going to get fun, people.
Yes. Enough talk about rape.
So, let's talk about death.
There we go.
Let's play that death jingle. We never play it.
Oh, there's a death?
There's a death?
What?
Marshall Wallace, the star of this episode.
I thought we covered that.
Death stalks you at every turn. There it is. Death.
Wait, Henry.
We never played that, but I thought we'd use it a lot more in the first couple seasons. That all these celebrity guest appearances who died.
Something else died.
What?
Zinc.
Zinc.
Sorry, Jimmy. Without zinc for the rotary mechanism, there are no telephones.
Dear God, what have I done?
Well, think again, Jimmy. You see, the firing pin in your gun was made of... Yep. Zinc.
Come back, Zinc!
This is so
Come
good.
Back!
So... I love
Zig,
this.
Come back!
So...
Zig, what?
Did the Simpsons give me the impression that all industrial films were based on someone wishing a
this
certain element?
This is specifically the Springy the Elf
That's
one.
What I wanted
a
to mention.
A Case of Spring Fever?
A Case of Spring
There's,
Fever.
There are several of these. One of them is called Paper and I. It's as if
yes.
The wish is like, what if all paper was gone from yes. the world? And it's a hellscape. It's a dangerous
yeah,
hellscape.
But the boy is being shown... The boy wishes paper away. And that this is getting into shorts we've all seen because we're
industrial
also
shorts.
Mystery Science Theater nerds.
Yeah. And Riff Tracks.
And Riff Tracks.
What's a spring... What's it called?
A Case of Spring Fever, I believe.
I meant to get a clip of it, but it's an animated
springs,
character.
Bro.
Some guy wishes springs didn't exist.
Yeah.
Everything has springs. Here's what a world would look like with no springs.
If you don't appreciate some innocuous part of your life, when it was removed from your life, you're like, I can't live without this.
And it's just this animated
no
character
springs,
like, what?
Springs.
I can't sleep in a bed. No springs.
What about an air mattress? Oh, fuck you.
There was a spring in that door. No springs. And they didn't use Springy the Elf in here, which seems almost weird. It's like, wait, you would have. You
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Shied away
I can't,
from animation.
I've seen the industrial short we're all talking about.
Yeah.
But I can't distinguish whether Simpsons created this trope or if this trope is actually a thing from the 1950s.
Oh, it's a thing.
Industrial
it's a thing.
Shorts.
In Paper and I, it's like a talking
it is.
Paper
it's
bag.
A paper
I mean,
bag.
The conceit of things being removed from the world that you take for granted
yeah.
is such an industrial short idea, which
yeah.
is great.
So what did the guy say? He didn't want paper to exist? Is that what he.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think his parents were taking paper for granted, and he was. He befriended
of,
a paper bag, I believe.
They were sick of him walking around with his paper bag, and they actually take him to a doctor in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what a world looks like without paper. My favorite Riff Tracks riff is just, they show a
favorite
newsstand, and all the newspapers
oh, you've
evaporate.
Seen this. Great, awesome.
And they just say, oh my God, someone invented the internet.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think I laughed my ass off
no,
at that
we,
one.
I laughed so hard at that. That was when we saw it. Me and Chris, at least, I remember, saw it live. I don't
Bob
remember.
Odenkirk said that.
Bob Odenkirk
okay,
said that
Okay, I saw
line.
The one with Paul Tompkins doing commentary.
Oh, that would be great,
yeah.
too. But the, oh God, the shorts are honestly my favorite part of Riff Tracks.
They're great.
I do
they're
like
great.
When they do movies, but the mm-hmm. shorts are
They've
so
They've done
good.
Like 200 of them, and they're all the
they're
best,
all
the best part.
The one...
One got fat.
Yeah.
Drugs are like that.
Yeah.
So good.
Drugs like that is so great.
Setting up a room.
Setting
anybody?
Up a room is...
30 minutes of setting up a goddamn room.
Fun with grass.
Put it over here. Oh, fun with grass. Make a mask. Like, it's for your friends. Okay, that Zig thing is great, and that they're watching on a film strip, which
yeah.
in like 91, nobody did. In 92, nobody did. But I... Okay,
no,
so...
I,
the,
no,
we, I'm a,
I did.
I'm a little older than you, or maybe I'm from Florida with a poor... public school, but like I watched a ton of these industrial
I did too. I did
watched,
too, Chris.
I watched slide. I watched
yeah.
slide projectors.
Microfiche, slide projectors.
Yeah, strips. But ones
yeah.
of like, and boop, next boop. Thing, boop, next.
Cobalt.
I watched that. But actual reel to reel, like 8mm or whatever, never watched
Oh,
those.
Totally.
Never
that was
those.
All over my elementary school classroom.
It's slightly off topic, but I always, my OCD fired up whenever a teacher was one step behind on a film strip, when she was one slide behind and no one noticed but me. I'm like, just, you're behind one, you missed one. One beep.
Teacher.
Yes.
You're the only
Please.
Person in charge of paying attention to this.
Yes.
Please.
But, okay. I know you didn't feel like teaching.
You're
but,
being paid.
But I asked for the death jingle because, yeah, Marsha Wallace
yeah.
plays Anna Krabappel. This is her tour de force
yes.
up to this point. She
totally agree.
Wouldn't have a featured episode until when she dated Seymour Skinner
mm-hmm.
in like season 7. But,
lucky boy. Or,
I love that episode too.
It's my favorite line.
But ever. In this one, it's also worth mentioning because she won an Emmy for this, Primetime
yes.
Emmy
really?
For Best Voice Acting. And because she counted as a guest star, so it was in the guest star thing. She's always listed
she
as a guest star.
She always listed as a guest star.
It's probably
Unfair.
A contract thing.
No, I did an article on LaserTimePodcast.com about every dead Simpsons celebrity, and it's always disputed because of people like her, because no one can decide whether she's a cast member or a regular.
Well, she's not that famous, like, no offense to her. Like, she was great as Bob Newhart's receptionist on the original Bob Newhart
the
sitcom.
The Maid and That's My Bush.
Yeah, that's where I got to see her in person.
Yeah,
like, wow,
really
that's
weird.
Edna Krabappel. I'll watch that show just for this.
She was a very funny woman, and that she, when she died, mm-hmm. they were going to play this episode on Fox as a tribute
really?
To her, but there was too much like legal red tape or
oh,
contractual
geez.
Stuff that they couldn't license it. They're like, we're just not allowed to license this to air it on
wow.
network. We can't. And so they instead aired like the, remember that lame thing over the summer of should Ned Flanders mm-hmm. date Edna? They played that episode. And
no, F
like,
that so hard.
And she is dead on the show. They didn't mm-hmm. have a death episode of her, but they had the scene to say goodbye to her mm-hmm. where they must have had like one last line with her or something, dancing with Ned, but it's in Ned's dreams, and he's saying goodbye to her, and he's wearing a black armband, and he's like, I miss her.
He talks to a picture of her next to his bed.
He's like, oh, I miss you.
Poor
and then,
Ned.
And then Nelson walks by and says, ha ha, I miss her too.
Aww.
And so, yeah, but so that's why this is a time to celebrate Marsha Wallace. And I am just so sad they couldn't air this one. They really wanted to on Fox. Like, just to have this episode air, a 1992 episode of a TV show air on Fox primetime would be amazing in its own right.
And it's such a great and complex study of her character. I mean, before, I think she was treated a little unfair. She was like, oh, she's the horn dog. Like, she'll do anybody. Yeah. But, she, I mean, good for her if that's what she wants to do, you know?
Yeah, though.
She wants to fuck Aerosmith. More power to her.
That's so strange. In Flaming Mo, she seemed to be, you know, getting
it on.
Yeah.
But
in this one, well, I guess it was all bluster in that. Because this one, she's got nothing.
She's established immediately as lonely.
To learn more about Zinc, they're welcome to stay. We can talk about anything. I'll do your homework for you.
Now, the next scene that I wanted to point out, did they establish as a visual gag what kind of soup she eats?
Yeah,
I remember talking about it.
Insert it, lonely.
Yeah,
Chef
but like
lonely
Apu says
one.
It. Like, I don't think I've seen a Simpsons visual gag this early being said by the character.
Oh yeah, actually reading the joke.
Yeah,
out.
Apu says it when she goes to buy it at the Quickie Mart.
Oh, Chef Lonely Hearts, soup for one.
One scratch and win, Apu.
Mrs. Krabappel, I haven't seen you since we doubled our prices. Still teaching?
Let's see. One more day at least.
No.
We also find out her ex-husband is interfering with her life.
Yes.
Like, oh, sugar in the gas tank. Your ex-husband strikes again.
Bingo, sugar in the gas tank. Ex-husband strikes again.
Love a blue-collar Hank Azaria character.
A great Bronson voice appearance. Yeah. And I like that this is setting up Apu knows everybody in town, but I wonder if that saying of the joke was because this episode has multiple things that padded out time.
Yeah.
Like they talk about how they added something to pad out the time.
Really?
But you don't see much of Edna's cat, though I do think you see her on one of the dates at Skinner with her in her home. But she only has a cat, just to make it clear, like, what a loser.
Yes. I want to just say that my highlight of the episode is the yo-yo sequence.
Oh,
it's so beautiful.
Oh, wait, before we get to that, when she's looking through the magazine, I did like the quick joke of, like, a chat with J.D. Salinger, and she just turns back to her like, that would be major news, and it's in the Springfield Shopper.
I can't believe it's in the local newspaper,
But okay, did you have these glorified commercial assemblies as a kid?
Yes.
Like, I definitely did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of them were them trying to get us to sell things for us.
There were
Sally
for
Foster's
them.
Gift wrap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've like got that. All this chocolate, and you can get a bike.
I'll never forget the time I went to the assembly room. And of course, they don't tell you what the assembly is. You show up, and like, all right, kids, it's time to learn about a little thing called Taekwondo. And I'm like, what? And it's my Taekwondo master. I'm in his Taekwondo class, and I'm in the second row, and he constantly calls me out by name.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I know Chris knows how to do this chop. I know he does. And like, and it didn't hit me until years later, like, he paid the school to sell his Taekwondo classes.
How crooked.
Yeah.
Collusion.
I mean, I'm glad they called out in this episode even, but I had one. It was for a, I guess, a jaw harp, a Jew's harp, boing, bring, boing.
Oh my God, an instrument salesman?
Yeah, the thing Snoopy plays in one of those. And it was, again, an easy sell to kids. Like, I want to have one of these things in my mouth.
It sounds like Yogi Bear farting.
I have two examples of these. One of these was one of those, hey, kids, sell things for your school, where it was like this earnest-style character named Mr. Earl. And the principal, there was not an assembly. The principal was like, we have a friend visiting us. His name is Mr. Earl. And you hear the needle being put on the record. It's like, hey, kids, it's Mr. Earl. You should go out and sell these things for your school. It'll really help us, everybody. Yeah, and I had a Mr. Earl sticker on my alarm clock for like 10 years. But another one I thought of was one of those things where Miss Hoover was like, I don't see the educational value in this. Mm-hmm. It was an old guy who came to our school. We had a huge assembly, and he did whip tricks. This very old man with a trembly hand, whipping like playing cards out of people's hands and doing tricks. And he did one of the things like, let's get your principal up here. Let's whip things off of his head.
Oh, just like Skinner.
Exactly like this. And I was like, I would not want to go anywhere near this old man with a whip.
Yeah,
it was very much like that Bill Murray sketch, the whip master.
Yeah. Like, and by all means, let's get your principal up here and emasculate the shit out of him for all the children.
A good way to get your kids, the kids on your side is to fuck with your teachers.
But let me play the clip real fast. It's Twirl King Yo-Yos.
Kids, this is a yo-yo. Kind of dull, huh? Not much competition for a video game. Or is it? Presenting the Twirl King Champions!
These guys must be millionaires. I'll bet they get all kinds of girls.
I question the educational value of this assembly.
Hey, it'll be one of their few pleasant memories when they're pumping gas for a living.
The head nod on this.
This is not the song. It's just it's a reorchestration of the song for The Simpsons or a yo-yo convention.
I like that Lisa is kind of crushing on Sparkle. Mm-hmm. She's like viewing her as like a role model. Like, I could be as glamorous as Sparkle.
Well, that's why they make multiple characters so kids can pick their favorite one.
Ninja Turtles.
If I could go back in time, the one assembly I wish I could be in now was, with the knowledge I have now, it was one of the abstinence-only, like, scare you into things. It's just this guy like, I've got AIDS, or I wish I hadn't done this, or I did it, like, and the one that pissed me off the most in memory of, she said, guys, I gotta tell you, this is just a scientific fact. Sex between two men is the most dangerous you can have, and it's so gross. And I wish if I could go back in
probably
time,
never thought of it before then, Henry. It just hit you right then.
If I could go back in time, I would stand up and say, well,
now
I can't stop
thinking about it.
Now, I'd say, if we're talking about hygiene, sex between two women is the most hygienic one. So are you saying that we should be doing that? Like,
Checkmate, sir.
Scissors for everyone.
Let's get penises out of this entirely then.
We did have a prisoner come to our school to talk about his mistakes, and he told this story as if it was true. And I think he went 10 years into the future and stole like an email forward where it's a story of like this train engineer brought his son to work. And his son got caught in some gears, and he had to decide whether to crush his son or to kill a train full of people. And it was all about the harsh decisions you have to make as a person in the world.
Wow.
And I was like, this didn't happen. Like, and people are like, people are crying in the auditorium. Like, this is bullshit.
All right, kids, I'm out of here. Make sure to like and subscribe.
Can you help me with these handcuffs, kids?
I had a scared straight one that they showed us a video of. There were students in the year ahead of us who robbed the Fazoli's or attempted to rob the Fazoli's.
Oh, Fazoli's, I miss you.
I wish that could be the title of this episode.
They shot one of the people in the leg. Oh, they didn't die. And it was just a video of them. And then it ends like, well, we wanted to show you they're actually here. And they walk out the people like in their prisoner orange.
Whoa,
and in chains to be like,
hyper demeaning.
They're in jail. Like, don't do this shit. And and of course they were all black and it had that extra level to it. But anyway,
that can't happen to me. I can rob all the facilities I want as a white man.
Yeah. But okay. So the yo-yos, I could never make a yo-yo do what I wanted it.
I also sucked at yo-yos. Yeah. And I'd even buy the yo-yo ball, which is like yo-yos for dummies.
It's a yo-yo ball.
We have talked all about this.
It's been a laser time topic somewhat recently.
It's so much fun and easy to do.
But
wherever it goes, it comes back to you.
And I think I love the touring company of this, that kids are impressed with them when they're actually just like carnies out of a van.
I want to say this. We did get a yo-yo auditorium convention thingy at our school, but it was definitely Duncan yo-yo.
Yeah, the writers mentioned this was a part of their childhood, the touring Duncan company, like coming around, getting kids into yo-yos again. Yeah,
they also talk about how it seems like a planned cycle of every 5 years we're selling a new generation yo-yo, so only buy it then, and then they'll get tired of yo-yos because they suck.
So yeah, I went through my yo-yo phase at age 7 until I was like, this sucks, I can't do this.
I just love the old line.
Walk the dog.
That's the old Sparkle.
That is my favorite line. One of the darkest things. Like, I have to get into a van and sign this picture of someone who isn't me.
Yeah.
Something clearly happened to the old Sparkle.
Something happened to the old Sparkle. They haven't made new pictures of me, Sparkle. And, yeah.
I'm dying to play this line because it's Homer ascertaining Bart's yo-yo skill.
Bart is supernaturally good at yo-yos.
Yeah. But how outrageous this line became as
25
of 2 years
years
ago.
Later.
As of 2 years ago.
Oh, man. Duh.
Can you believe it? Pretty soon I'll be able to quit my job and live off the boy.
What? Name me one person who's gotten rich by doing yo-yo tricks.
Donald Trump? No. Arnold Palmer? No. Bill Cosby? No.
Don't!
Arnold Palmer, the only one not tainted by time?
Smothers Brothers was right there, Homer, and you missed it. I mean, that's what most people know them for, not being for controversial people on TV.
I love the Smothers Brothers. Mm. I'll watch them all day, man. They're like, they're my Garrison Keillor. I'm just like, this is old-timey entertainment.
It's great because they've never not looked like they were stricken by Alzheimer's, so they can tour willy-nilly.
But hearing Homer say Donald Trump felt weird to me. I was just like, wait, these words shouldn't be in your mouth. He shouldn't exist in your word. Bill Cosby's one thing, but Donald Trump,
Do not think about what you think about Donald Trump right now. He was synonymous for a rich person.
Yeah,
he has
been a cartoon his entire public life.
When I started reading Mad Magazine in 1988, there were Donald Trump jokes. That was like a common thing in every issue.
Year, man.
Oh, really? I think the Gremlins 2 cover.
I mean,
maybe.
Trump
Gremlins
was so
Alfred E. Newman on a float in the Arctic. Mm. That's all I remember.
Trump was so established as a living cartoon character that they had to tone him down to turn Biff into him in Back to the Future 2.
Yes, it's so great.
And I also saw people saying, this was my rebuttal to somebody saying, oh, everybody's calling Donald Trump a racist now, and then sharing all these pictures of him with black celebrities. Mm-hmm. And I said, they're not just calling him it now. Here's the first story that he was ever in the New York Times for, 1973, because he was being sued for denying renting to racial discrimination. Like, he wouldn't rent to people.
I should use this as an example to plug one of my favorite ESPN documentaries, because we did that on the Raisin Show.
I love it.
Small Potatoes.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yep.
And it could sort of it shows you the history of Trump through how he basically collapsed this NFL competitor that was doing pretty well until Trump came aboard.
Because
he wasn't allowed to own an NFL team, so he had to come over here and just, like, I'm not only going to rule this team, I'm going to take down the NFL with it. I'm like, please don't do that.
And it was a long-term scheme to, like, he killed it to sue the NFL.
Yeah,
so
he killed
it
out of bitterness. Out of bitterness and anger, but they show, Trump wasn't really a guy until, he became famous for pestering people.
Yeah.
As a very rich person, and people listened and then said outlandish things, and he got rewarded with attention, and it's been that way for 30 years.
In the words of Miss Hoover, he's bad, but he'll die. So I like it.
Can't happen soon enough. So Bart shows off his trick called plucking the pickle, which they had apparently pitched many other masturbation euphemisms, but that's the one they could get away with. Like, all right, plucking
really?
The pickle.
I was wondering about it.
It's a new one, but they wanted wanking the snake, tugging the dolphin.
Sounds like one efficient jerk.
and I do love that when he kills the fish, he's like,
I didn't do it.
It's
such a good joke that I couldn't capture.
It's such a visual joke, and I should say that Carlos Baeza, this is one of the few episodes he directed, and they compared to a Renaissance artisan and the amount of time and craftsmanship he put into these episodes. I'm so sad he didn't stay with the show for longer.
That is a beautifully staged, visually staged joke that Bart throws his yo-yo into the fish tank, says, I didn't do it, as the camera follows the string to Bart's finger.
Oh, so perfect.
So good.
Yeah.
The Simpsons will be right back.
You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
We went to Vegas for Money in the Bank.
Yes.
It was fun. It's always fun being in one of those shows live, and I scream super hard. Henry, in his own words, was yelling so hard he was retching.
Yep.
Which is easy to believe. I stood in line for a beer. I see Michelob Ultra and a Hefeweizen. Mm. And I'm like, the Hefeweizen. And the guy, he just has a look of and he points at Michelob Ultra, and he's like, this one? That one. The one that says in a bold impact font, Hefeweizen.
But you're in Vegas. People only drink trash.
He pulled the tap and poured it, but with a look of if you say so, man. So then I go get another beer, and it's me again with the same guy, and I'm like, Hefeweizen. And he's like, which one? And I'm again? And then I hear them go, it's time for the Money in the Bank match. They say Chris Jericho. Mm. And he's like, Chris Jericho is still wrestling? I'm like, you'd remember Chris Jericho, but the word Hefeweizen is complete fucking jargon.
I was going to say, you couldn't be worse suited for this particular job.
It's a wheat beer, you stupid idiot.
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
And all the teachers are just sick of yo-yos. Like, no more yo-yos.
No book reports.
We couple that with, like, Krabappel is lonely, Bart is in trouble and in detention. Mm-hmm. And they become, I don't know, they learn a little too much about one another.
1 + 1 = 2. Recently divorced fourth grade teacher wishes to meet man age 18 to 60. Object, save me. Write Edna K, box 402. Dear Edna, I never answered a personal ad before, but I found yours irresistible. My name is...
Woodrow. I like holding hands and dinner by candlelight. And oh yes, I really hate yo-yos.
Oh, Woodrow.
So,
every bit of that sound will make the show timeless. It's such good sound work, such good visual work. I love that. And
the flamenco guitar in the background.
Yeah, I wanted to play that just because, like, that's how Bart's letters are read from there on out. Yeah. Gary Shearer doing the voice of Woodrow Howell.
Thing that is dated, kids, is the personal ad. Before you had a computer in your pocket that gave you a list of people to fuck,
where you could
swipe to write to a newspaper saying, I'm available. Yeah. Please write your letters to me.
Only then could you fold right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And it would take weeks to get one date, I would think, just waiting on the mail. I miss Playdude magazine. Like, the Playdude was right on top of that.
That's so John Updike on the martini.
Yeah, that was so great.
But it's a very great 70s Playboy article.
No, but they never do. Like, I feel like when they would later have Playboy, it would just be Playboy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Playdude. Mm-hmm. And Woodrow, named after Woodrow Wilson, and that he's the voice is based on Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah. It's a confluence of three real people.
From Conquest of the Planet of the Apes?
and the picture Bart uses is of Gordie Howe.
Yeah. I only remember that because, like, Tyler was yelling at me about not knowing anything about hockey and, like, name a hockey player. And I said, Gordie Howe. He's like, how did you do that?
Yeah, so once again, Simpsons, the Simpsons gave me one hockey player and, like, 10 baseball players to know. And that's all I'll ever know.
So originally, that was going to be Johnny Unitas. But apparently, they asked for his permission and he said no. And so... Al Jean is from Detroit, a big and was a Detroit Red Wings fan as a kid, and he loved Gordie Howe, and so he asked for permission and boom, put him right in there. And so Gordie Howe was a handsome man in an old school way back then, I would say.
I thought there was some caveat there because the idea that they show his stats at the end, like, is a joke that doesn't totally work.
It's just
it's
to fill time.
Great non sequitur, where it's just like, here's the guy that Bart stole his picture of. Have fun. Yeah,
Bart catfishes her. Like, that is what people do. Now and I did love her date with Jasper. Well, that zoot suit picture of him was
so
amazing.
Good.
And I had to look it up because I still didn't know what that was. Just because there's a little snow on the roof
doesn't
mean the next line is doesn't mean there isn't a fire in the fireplace / furnace. So it means
his butthole. Buttholes in flames.
Just because his hair is white, his dick can still get hard, I guess.
Yeah, my dick still works, buddy. That's what I'm telling you.
So something I noticed in this episode, it comes in with the swear jar B plot.
Yes, can I get a little clip of this?
Oh, sure.
I think he needs a doghouse.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
I bet we could buy a nice doghouse for $50.
Oh, Marge, you're a tool of the doghouse makers.
Love it.
Yes, you are. You've been brainwashed by all those doghouse commercials on TV. I know. I'll build him a doghouse.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't worry. I just drew up a little blueprint.
Now, the show.
Let me walk you through it. This is a door. He goes through that. This is the roof. And this happy character here is the sun. He shines down on the house, see?
I love that line. Thank you. The way Dan delivers that, he shines down on the house, see? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so casual.
And it's the first time I think they'd shown Homer as, like, the drawing ability of a 5-year-old.
Yeah. It also implied that Homer thought he could convince Marge he somehow designed the sun.
Yeah. Okay, so
I do love you're a tool of the doghouse maker. Yeah.
So I wanted to get that clip. I didn't know. I'm glad you guys liked it, for real. But, like, I know from my experience watching this in syndication, this is what's cut out.
Oh,
normally it's the longest scenes that maybe have good jokes, but we establish that a dog. It doesn't. You don't need to establish a doghouse shows up.
Yeah.
So this is what was cut out in my syndication.
Oh, the whole scene weird. Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
The one thing I wanted to point out is something I noticed only this time. I've seen this episode probably 40 times by now. Is that the seasons change from scene to scene? In one scene, it's winter. It's the dead of winter. Santa's little helper is frozen outside.
Yeah,
another scene,
poor dog can suffer.
Bart is walking around outside in a short sleeve shirt. And, like, there's no snow, no ice. In some scenes, Homer's wearing a light jacket. It's just, like, they didn't know what season they were in.
Well, does that imply that Bart is fucking with Edna for months?
I mean, it could be a months long deal of, or at least a month long.
I think they just didn't have continuity in terms of what they were trying to portray. I mean, this episode aired in February, and I think they wanted it to be a winter one, but that wasn't really communicated throughout every scene of the show.
Or how do you visually convey that the dog needs a doghouse in 4 seconds?
Exactly, yeah.
And now, as somebody who I've now been around friends with kids, like, I do worry I swear too much. I think I do swear too much.
I can't stop. You know, our friends' kids are sponges, and like I always curse in front of them. I hope they know not to say that.
I hope so, but yeah.
They remember everything.
Here's the thing, though. Homer's catchphrase is a censored swear word. Doh, like as if he's going to say damn, but he censors it into doh. So it's strange that they're giving him this personality trait that you can't stop swearing. I like it, but it's
sequence is so fun.
It's so great, yeah.
It feels like a response to parents who said the show influences kids to swear.
Yeah.
And so, which it does. Like, there's no two ways about it. Homer influences Todd to swear.
I do love when he calls Flanders a dirty bastard.
You dirty bastard.
All of this is great. Wait, let me burn this one off. Edna writes back to Woodrow.
Dear Woodrow, I must admit I'm intrigued. You're not like the other men I've met.
Yeah, I'm the 28th president of the United States.
But I've had some bad experiences with these ads, so I'd like to learn more about you. Please write back soon. Here's a photo that'll get your pencil moving.
You've got a date with the Xerox machine.
When that joke happened as a kid, my mom went, "Oh, poor Ed." Yeah. Like, just sad.
Bart
is
really cruel in this episode.
I'm hoping
it's a peace offering from a desperate woman, and Bart's going to use it.
Yes.
We didn't see proof that he actually did it.
I'm glad
but we all know Bart can make a photo viral.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been proven
before the internet.
So I also do like when Todd says, "I don't want to eat my damn vegetables." All right.
Todd, would you like some mixed vegetables?
Hell no.
What did you say?
I said I don't want any damn vegetables.
All right, that's it, young man. No Bible stories for you tonight.
So good.
Yeah, my second line of the show is Maude saying he thought the idea of a talking dog was
blasphemous.
In terms of Davy and Goliath.
But I wish I could get a line of the show, too. Because Flanders once... I wish this was a more recurring gag of him calling Reverend Lovejoy for very, very minute problems.
It's so great. Yeah.
Because this is a great scene.
Sorry to bother you, Reverend Lovejoy, but I'm kind of in a tizzy. Our son Todd just told us he didn't want to eat his damn vegetables.
Well, you know, kids and vegetables. What was it, asparagus?
No, Reverend. The point is, he said a bad word.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, kids usually pick these things up from someplace, find out who's doing it, and direct him to the Bible.
Where in the Bible?
Page 900.
But
that's great.
Damn Flanders.
Good!
That's the repeat of a joke from, I think, perfect. Lisa the Greek, where where does it say gambling is legal in the Bible? Homer goes, somewhere in the back.
I never noticed until this as a kid that it was... He says damn Flanders because his ice cream melted on his Alamode cake. Like, I didn't notice that before. And
this is before his short-lived model train obsession, which I really liked as a part of his character.
And that was such a great... And it came together so well that he then saves Flanders from a train. And if only more people had thought of that and pulling up a giant train set when it was time to save someone from giant apes.
Where was Reverend Lovejoy then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really love the scene where Bart reads Homer's love letter to Mark.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, Mom, did you save the love letters Dad sent you?
Of course I saved them. Although, actually, there's only one. And it's more of a love postcard from some brewery you visited.
Maybe it's severe talking, Marge, but you got a butt that won't quit. They got these big chewy pretzels here that are, you guys with a beard. $5? Get out of here.
Wow. Side of Dad I've never seen.
That is something that's stuck in my brain forever. $5? Get out of here.
I think butt that won't quit still works as
butt
a compliment.
Butt that won't quit is
a
so
butt
hard.
That won't quit.
It gets referenced later.
Dear Edna, your photo took my breath away.
Truly, yours is a butt that won't quit. Yesterday morning, I put your picture up in my garage to inspire me while I gapped my spark plugs.
That's the filthiest thing I've ever heard
disgusting.
In The Simpsons.
Yeah, gapped his spark plugs, and then she dives under the bathtub. And I know back then, I don't think it's visual shorthand anymore, but single woman, turned on woman in bathtub meant masturbation.
That brings us to the next clip I have, is that, Smithers being gay was... I think developing is a joke.
Yeah.
But, like, you couldn't really say a character was gay in 92.
I believe this is the first time they've used the word gay in the entire series.
Oh, are we flash-forwarding here?
Well, no, but when he talks to Flanders.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'm afraid I have a bone to pick with you.
Look, if it's about your camcorder, I lost it, okay?
No. I came to talk to you about your potty mouth.
What the hell are you talking about?
Look, Homer, all of us pull a few boners now and then. Go off half-cocked, make asses of ourselves. So, I don't want to be hard on you, but I just wish you wouldn't curse in front of my boys.
Oh, come on now, Flanders. I don't complain about your mustache.
What's wrong with my mustache?
Makes you look like you got something to hide.
Yeah, it's loosely implied, as a kid, I never, got how many innuendos were in that Flanders statement.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to be hard on you.
They said hard on.
Yeah.
Matt Groening hated those jokes.
I got that now.
Jokes. Like, Matt Groening thought that was too, that was them being like little five-year-olds giggling, like, we got away
with it.
Was
that a Sam Simon thing?
It was a writer's thing, definitely, that Groening just grouses about it.
I only say that because Sam Simon went on to make, I think his only other show was the George Carlin Show, and I was watching it as a kid, and it was just George Carlin. It's kind of a terrible show, but he was still George Carlin. He's like, look, there's so many other words that people think are dirty. But you can listen to what I'm about to say. And on Fox at 9 o'clock, he's like, he took his hammer and cocked it and gave him a hard blow. And like, it's almost verbatim that.
I feel like they fell back on swearing a lot in these early seasons because they had something to prove. Mm. Like, we want to get away with this. We want to show you a cartoon,
this cartoon
can be adult.
Said a thing.
Yeah, like things like Son of a Bitch Bastard, I think, were big things in the early seasons.
Yeah, this was goodbye.
Yeah.
One more fuck joke for Homer, like screaming fuck later on. But they introduce the swear jar eventually.
Flanders thinks I swear too much. Marge, you're not laughing.
Well, you know, maybe he's right.
Well, what a surprise. Marge sticks up for Flanders. Can we have one conversation where you don't bring up your hero, Ned Flanders?
Actually, Homer, you brought up
Look,
Ned
we're
Flanders.
Past
I
that.
Never said
Marge,
about Ned
maybe
Flanders.
I do curse a little, but that's the way God made me. And I'm too old to stop now.
No, you're not.
I like that.
When my father got out of the Navy, he used to curse a blue streak. It almost cost him his job as a baby photographer. So my mom put a swear jar in the kitchen. Every time he said a bad word, he put in a quarter. What do you think?
Bring on the swear jar.
Clancy Bouvier would become a flight attendant.
Yes,
eventually.
I was going to say that unless he became, like, did he lose his stewardess job and then go on to become a baby photographer?
Don't look at me.
Because she said he left the Navy and then became a baby photographer. So then after that, he becomes a steward.
Hmm.
And but Marge is so little when she thinks he's a pilot. So I think that's a lie she's telling herself there. It
turns out she's just a gay Nancy.
I need an official timeline, I think. Where's Simpsons Historia?
But he almost lost his job as a baby photographer. I don't want to let go of how perfectly written that
it is.
Great.
It's great. And also the good continuity there. Homer says, I don't know where your camcorder is. He borrowed his camcorder in the Blowfish episode to film his goodbye.
All right.
Maggie,
I meant to mention that because the camcorder was still like $700, $800.
Yeah, that's why
like
when Homer said, I lost it.
And I'm not going to replace it. The swear jar was inspired by Al Jean's dad, who was a swearing dude. Mm. So he had been dropping the coins in there. And the montage of Homer swearing.
It's just so good. And the beehive, goddamn, is the icing on the cake.
That's unfair.
He should be allowed to swear.
That feels like Homer said, if I'm on fire, can I do it? And Marge is like, but oh yeah, the dirty talk.
Yes,
that,
exactly.
Yuck. I didn't like that.
What about when we snuggle?
Fuck me in the dark hole.
We don't want this. I mean, there's enough animated GIFs on the internet.
My God. It's the worst. It's the worst. You just want to go to a free streaming porn site.
I want regular porn, sir.
Why is Bart always the one fucking somebody in every one of my cartoon porn ads?
Oh, God. Can you at least,
was that Andy Rooney of a read for me?
That's why. That's why I appreciate it when it's like Ned and Marge or something. It's at least age appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, but it's established here Bart has an understanding of sexuality.
Yes.
Join me at the Gilded Truffle this Saturday at 8. Perhaps later we will smooch up a storm. Sexually yours, Woody.
Sexually yours.
Sexually yours.
Sexually yours.
I'm signing my next official email with sexually yours.
Bart was watching Colorization Theater. Yeah. Another joke lost to time when Ted Turner was destroying old movies by making them quote unquote more marketable for TV audiences.
I want to stand up for Ted Turner because he's a giant movie fan. I think he thought the same way most the same philosophy that made The Simpsons have to go widescreen when it went to FXX. Mm-hmm. Is to make it look modern and presentable to audiences that won't automatically think it's old. And I do remember reading interviews with Ted Turner. He loved these movies.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. I feel it was him holding a gun to the head of old movies and people being like, oh, these are valuable. We should protect them. Like, mm-hmm. He made them realize these are worth protecting.
You think
these
it
things.
Was a new Coke type trip?
Possibly. Yeah. I think he wanted to make money off of them, too.
Well, I think he had Turner TNT coming out and maybe wanted that a little, like, to show colored movies there.
Well,
colored movies.
Colored
no
movies.
No one right.
You mean Song of the South, Chris?
No, I did. Bob?
Turner was so ahead of the game on buying content to have on his networks. Other people was like, just license it. Just get 100 episodes.
But that they're
the
all
show.
Purple and
cream. It just looks so hideous. I remember watching everything is painted like an Easter egg in those movies. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. Colors. I wish we could. It might be impossible to go back and revisit that era of colorization. Just be glad you didn't live.
I do
it.
Love Colorized Reefer Madness though, where the smoke they blow
great,
is like
right?
green and purple and
it is great.
Pink.
But so Bart. Pranks Edna and it leaves her sad at the Guild of Truffle. Well, he goes to watch Ernest Needs a Kidney.
I just want to point out that font is dead on.
It's great. Brett
they
should
made
be
three
here.
Ernest jokes.
Why isn't Brett sitting right here to let us know? I mean, I prefer Ernest go somewhere cheap.
Yeah,
that's a but
they've never
stay here for
no
a while,
one has
Vern.
Ever recreated the Ernest font. And if there's an Ernest font on the internet, please send it to me.
Yes,
I need it.
And within 5 years, he would be a guest on the show.
That's right.
I believe it's called Varney Bold Condensed.
And I do love Bart's reaction of like, I feel slightly responsible.
Yeah, that
this.
He feels really bad about it.
Oh, Woodrow, how could you stand me up?
Mrs. K, whoever this guy is, you don't need him. There are plenty of good men around.
Bart, you are the closest thing to a man in my life. And that's so depressing, I think I'm going to cry.
That's hard to listen to.
It is.
I forgot how long they held on her crying.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to a bunch of the show, I was kind of a Bart character, kind of not actively trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but constantly making people's lives hard just by being slightly mischievous and curious. And when you realize you pushed an authority figure to the breaking point, mm-hmm. like a parent or a teacher, like I've had a couple of those moments.
I mean, I've been in classes where the teacher did start crying because you were being so bad. I'm this went too far.
And it was always my fault.
I did like her explanation of who she wouldn't date. Like,
I truncated the clip.
Skinner's like, his mommy won't let him out to play, which was very true. Uh-huh. Though she would still then date him later.
Yes.
Though, what is she implying Willie's into?
That he films people with their permission. I don't know that. But.
Every Scottish person does it, though.
He is rowdy.
Rowdy Roddy Peeper.
Okay, so that is what he's into.
Conversation made it happen.
I was curious if they were going for the classic
farm animal.
Stuff.
So I wanted you to make sure you got a good line of the show in here, but if it wasn't for this is my favorite scene from the entire episode. Homer has contributed every time to the swear jar and has finally broken himself of the habit.
Oh, fudge. That's broken. Fiddle-dee-dee. That will require a tetanus
looks so
shot.
Painful.
I'm not sound. Going to swear, but I am going to kick this doghouse down! Down!
Dad, this is not a commentary on your skills, but we bought you a new doghouse.
Where'd you get the money?
Oh, there was more than enough in the swear jar. And if you look inside the doghouse, there's a little surprise.
Maggie. Oh, cute.
No, behind her.
Beer! How did you know?
His foot's still bleeding, though. Yeah. Like,
the sound of the nail going through his foot is grotesque.
Yeah. When I've definitely done this on occasion where if I stub my toe or something and I don't want to shout, I go like, fiddle-dee-dee.
The biggest fight I've had with my girlfriend recently You've seen our new coffee table. Mm-hmm. Doesn't leave a lot of room in our small Tetris block shaped San Francisco apartment. I've hit my knee on it the same way like 6 times, and I finally just went crazy. And it makes me believe like maybe Homer didn't need a swear jar, but like a violence jar.
Yeah,
because I just started punching cabinets because it hurts so much.
Oh, my favorite reaction to Homer when he swears in the montage is when Lisa says, "Where's the how's the dog supposed to get in?" Well, he. Oh, yeah. He just said like, "Oh fuck!" And I think him shouting "damn" in church, like that's bad.
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's also visual. I wanted all of it, but you need to see this episode just for that sequence alone, people.
There's a really fun thread in this episode that I caught this first time. In that Bart becomes sort of like a mini handyman in detention, he's not only good at it, he likes it. He's actually
he looks
like
a bartender in most shots.
Yeah, like I think he's missing out on his vocation.
And he's in troubles.
Yeah, and he says that he's getting a handle on the wax. Yeah, floor wax. Yeah, all that great stuff.
It's like, there's your problem, Malibu Stacy head in the sink.
And I did like the little cut to it was just for flavor, but Marge going like, "Where's Maggie?" Where's like they don't do that. They have a fucking
no.
Baby.
Maggie doesn't exist.
Yeah,
like, do all this stuff all the time. Like it was such a great her blowing on her tummy was such a cute thing.
I remember like
not everything has to be a joke.
I was doing 8 things at the same time. Like, oh, they're treating Maggie like a baby. That never happens.
Yeah, I know.
Almost never.
And so them writing the letter. So Bart finding it out, and I felt bad. Like. Don't share that photo with... I guess he needed that as proof that he was actually doing it, but him sharing that photo with them, like, oh, Edna didn't
want...
The
family?
Yeah. Edna didn't
but at least he localized that kind of embarrassment and damage. And,
and so then them writing the letter together, that was a James L. Brooks idea. He was like, this will be so sweet.
Oh, it seems so James L. Brooksy now
It's a very sweet way to type the episode that involves some ribald humor.
That instead of, like telling... Krabappel the truth, they all write her a letter of why Gordy Howe can't see Woodrow Gordy Howe can't see Krabappel again. Homer takes a first stab.
She'd write her another letter. One that says goodbye, but lets her feel loved.
Step aside, everyone. Sensitive love letters are my specialty. Dear baby, welcome to Dumpsville. Population, you.
Dear baby.
Dear baby. That's so great.
Dear baby.
And then he keeps trying to insert, like, I'm gay. 3 words.
I am gay.
Yeah. Homer, we're not going to put that in there. That type of advice would continue on into the Valentine's Day episode where he said 6 simple words. I'm not gay, but I'll learn.
Again, I'll learn. First time they've said gay. Yeah. I mean, they've insinuated characters were gay, but they never ever said gay.
This is what put that show, The Simpsons, into like the next echelon for me because I'd never heard another show say this.
I mean, just mentioning...
Not even Roseanne, people. Don't correct me.
It did feel like as a kid, I'm like, that's not... They did a naughty thing.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, it was a bad
they acknowledged gayness.
Yeah. P.S. I'm gay.
And any time I hear the wind blow, it will whisper the name.
Oh, that's very good, Lisa.
P.S. I am gay.
How shall we end it?
How about with a love that will echo through the ages?
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, Homer, you old honey dripper.
Hey, you little hee-hee.
I love Homer gently tousling his hair.
It's nice
animation.
Yeah, and even though it's not in the voiceover, the love that will echo through the ages, it is written on the letter that Edna looks at.
Speaking of that, it is kind of odd how Edna looks at this sexy man in his childlike writing and buys it. Like, why?
Yeah.
His penmanship is that of a 10-year-old.
Very desperate.
Yeah, that's true.
Very desperate.
Like, that's his one flaw, I guess.
Yeah, she wants to believe whatever. Like, who cares? And this guy is perfect. Perfect for her. Oh, I did love the joke. We skip past it. Just when he said happy hour in the teacher's lounge, she just gives everything a B. Yeah. She's like, B.
And that squeaky marker sound is so great.
Perfect. The Simpsons squeaky marker.
Yeah. And she accepts it, and then Bart kind of hangs out with her more and learns to appreciate her, at least for this episode. It'll be reset again like everything else is. But another sweet ending. All of the season 3 is definitely where they're getting jokier, but they're not as... Season 5 is when they just... Well, actually, I'd say halfway through season 4, they go like, not cynical. Nothing means anything and everything's wrong.
Yeah, and screw you for watching.
Screw you for watching. But in season 5 is where, like, Homer Loves Flanders literally ends with them saying, this will reset next week. So this progress is meaningless. Like, but at this point, they're still like, no, happy ending. Warm and fuzzy. Let's make him feel this way.
It does seem like a bizarre... I just thought while watching it, this is James L. Brooks.
I got a little goosebumpy when Edna tells Bart, like, let's have the tension outside today. It's so nice out. Like, it's like, I like that, like, Bart became her shoulder to cry on. Mm-hmm. Even if he emotionally manipulated her, I feel like she became a better person for it. in some way.
Yeah, and I hope, you know, she wouldn't get anybody again until Seymour in a few years. But
it'd be 4 years until that one? Yeah, I think so, season 7. Years, but, poor Edna.
Though she's never as desperate as, like, Patty and Selma are seen as the ones who would, like, literally trap a man in their apartment.
I believe at one point their apartment complex was named Spinster City.
Yes.
Remember that? Reference, kids?
Spin City,
of
right.
Of course, yeah.
I get it.
It's a reference to something old.
Bill Cosby.
No! Oh, great. That needs to be like a text notification or something.
Bill Cosby. Oh, God. Well, I guess that's the episode.
That's it, yeah. I mean, I liked
Bart the Lover
it.
Ate good, and Bart was really good in this one, I think, especially. It was a good platform for Bart, but it wasn't just about him being like, cowabunga, dude. And it wasn't his story either, like how Bart gets an F. It's about him crying and his frustrations. It's about him learning empathy.
Towards a teacher, which
towards his teacher.
I remember being this age, it was hard. But if I've never told that story, like I was Bart's age, also terrible, and then... Every semester, Mike Krabappel would read the comments on a report card and ask the class to guess who it was.
Ooh.
And it was always me. And I didn't realize now that, like, you should be in jail.
That's just like psychological torture.
Yeah, like, why did you do that to me?
That's singling out a student like something you should never
do. It's Chris again. Everybody's right.
Yay! Well, y'all single Chris out for being bad. That's pretty terrible. And I think Edna will be much more unfair to Bart in other episodes.
That's true,
when she will just call on Bart first and knowing to single him out. But that is also, that's more in the David Merkin era because he really hates teachers.
He does,
He cannot stand them.
I feel like he was a little Bart when he was growing up.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who invented the little bastard kits that came in his seasons.
I love it.
I rebuilt one of those. We'll get to it.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening so much, guys. I've been your host, Bob Mack. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. You can read my writing at usgamer.net or somethingawful.com. And you can hear my other podcast, Retronauts, the classic gaming podcast. All these guys have been on it. It's great. Comes out every week. Go to retronauts.com or usgamer.net to find that podcast or just find it in your podcast device. How about you guys? What do you do?
You can hear Bab occasionally on the Laser Time Show, the show that started this whole dumb network on lasertimepodcast.com. And we did an episode somewhat recently within the month about... I did an accompanying article on it, animated endorsements that wouldn't die, and that Bart has been endorsing Butterfinger for almost a quarter of a century.
Yeah. Through all its many forms.
Yep.
On and off, on and off.
But who else? Yes, Fred Flintstone. God damn, you're ruining the whole show for yourself.
It's a great episode of Laser Time. I love it.
Thank you, baby.
And if you like this travel backwards through time, there's 30-20-10, where you go through the events in a given week 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago. And yes, the Super Bowl and the Challenger happened at the same time. And in the same week, a crazy time, and you can learn about all that type of stuff right on that podcast. And of course, this was brought to you by patreon.com/lasertime. If you'd like to support us and get the first season of this for just $5 a month, head over there. And if you are a new signee and you're looking for links to the first season, if you scroll through the most recent posts by Lasertime, you will find a picture of Black Smithers waving
at you.
Mr.
Burns, I'm actually white.
and calling you to action to find the first 13 episodes as well as our season 2 wrap up.
Right, 13 episodes waiting for you, including a season 2 wrap up, which is real fun.
Oh, you should listen to it. If you want to hear about Nazis on Tap and you're asking, what is that? It's a secret Simpson short you've never seen or heard, probably. So yeah, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week when we talk about Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw.
Yay!
Later, folks.
Infotainment.